Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a great show coming up for you here this morning on Montana Talks. We should have time to take your phone calls here later in the morning. My initial game plan was we were just going to have the 9 o'clock hour, full hour of open phones, taking your phone calls and more. But we've got an exciting addition that I think we should have ready to roll for you later today in Great Falls. Joining Governor Greg Gianforte for a big announcement, the one and only Mike Rowe. You guys know Mike Rowe, the dirty jobs guy. He's been such a champion for working class folks, for very important jobs in America, and such a champion for trades education and encouraging young people to go into the trades. And instead of just, you know, like when I was a kid, everybody was just told, hey, don't worry about it. Just take out the student loans. Don't worry about it. Just go to college. Everybody needs to go to college. Take out the student loans. Don't worry about it. And then what happens? We have this student loan crisis essentially in America, and so many people bogged down in debt for a degree that they don't need or don't use. Now, some people, college worked out well for them, and it was something that paid off, right? But think about how many kids have then went down this path that just led to debt and didn't really lead to an outcome in the job market. Whereas they could have gone straight in the trades, had a good job, probably had a good house, probably had a camper and a boat too, right? Much earlier in life without all that debt by just going straight into the trades industry. So I'm excited to hear not only from Mike Rowe, he's joined us on the show before, to hear from him once again, but also to hear from the governor and get a little preview of what this announcement might look like here later this morning on Montana Talks. And then of course, the full announcement of the event, I think, takes place later this afternoon in Great Falls. And they've got, some folks with the Great Falls schools that will be there as well. But, of course, the big news today, and we'll talk with our friends from Americans for Prosperity Montana about this topic later on in the hour, of course, because, hey, what, 2 weeks ago we were with AFP Montana back on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., talking about, an end to the Democrats' shutdown of the federal government. But, yeah, this is the big picture here. 42 days for what? And I forget who I was listening to yesterday that said that, but they said 42 days. For what? 43 to be precise. But now the federal government shutdown is officially over after President Trump signed the legislation last night, after the House of Representatives cast their votes yesterday afternoon. I've got reactions here, responses from both Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, representing the Western Congressional District, along with Congressman Troy Downing, representing the Eastern Congressional District. I'll share a little bit of that and much more. Bottom line, though, is, you know, Congressman Zinke saying this: shutdowns are bad for America and bad for Montana. I voted to prevent this shutdown in September, and I gladly voted to end it today. He also released a full list of some of the Montana wins that he sees in the bill. And then Congressman Downing making a good point. If we want to prevent something like this from happening in the future, we cannot forget how we got here, and talked exactly about the Democrats' obstruction.
It's November 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Kindness Day. It's really simple. Just be nice to one another today. Many studies show that kindness can be as infectious as the common cold, and the mere act of being nice to someone has more of a chance of that small act to be carried forward by someone else. Also on this date, in 1789, Benjamin Franklin first wrote the phrase, "Nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes," in a letter he wrote to French physicist Jean-Baptiste Leroy. Today we paraphrase this saying into "nothing is certain but death and taxes." And in 1956, the Supreme Court upheld the ruling of a Montgomery, Alabama court which said that racially segregated seats on buses violated the Constitution. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the author of Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson, born in 1850, and actor and comedian Whoopi Goldberg, born in 1955. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Matt, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad we had a couple more minutes to go with Wednesday's Montana Talks. We had the Joker from X in the house with us. We played that clip of President Trump in the Oval Office spraying the Trump cologne for the Syrian president. And then we got to joking about, well, if Hunter Biden was there, he would have been trying to get the Syrian president to take a whiff of something else. And anyway, that was Wednesday. What are we going to talk about Thursday? Why don't you tell us? We'll have the phone lines open for you with Montana Talks.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
5,000. Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we do have some guests scheduled to join us here this hour of the show, but actually I think we've got some time right now to take your phone calls. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I just got a I think it's kind of a funny message from Hank in Bozeman, but also an interesting question from Hank in Bozeman. Hank says this: I was watching Veterans Day at Arlington Cemetery. And by the way, if you guys missed it, President Trump recognized Missoula, Montana's own retired Brigadier General Dale Stovall. I've got the full video on our Montana Talks website if you missed our show yesterday. But anyway, back to Hank and Bozeman. He says, while I was watching the Veterans Day ceremony at Arlington, it showed the soldiers struggling with the flags of their branches of service on that windy morning. But they stood strong, though, didn't they, Hank? Even despite all that wind, it sounds like it. You could see the battle streamers flapping around all the flags. The Army flag has hundreds of battle streamers, as does the Navy, Marine, and Air Force. For their battles from Bunker Hill to Iraq and Afghanistan. And then Hank says this: I noticed that the Space Force had some battle streamers flapping around. Did I miss something? So I thought that was kind of a good question from Hank and Bozeman. Basically, why would the relatively newly created Space Force flag include battle streamers? Now, AI doesn't always have the best answer or the right answer, but either way, I found Grok to be a helpful tool. So I asked Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform, I said, why does the Space Force flag have battle streamers on it? And basically, they're saying that the U.S. Space Force flag
Fox News comments
battle streamers to represent the heritage, honors, and campaign participation inherited from its predecessor organizations, primarily the Air Force Space Command and earlier units under the U.S. Air Force that performed space operations. And so I'm assuming then, you know, oftentimes you would have folks providing space support on the ground in those combat zones, et cetera. So that sounds like it would be the correct answer to me, but maybe we've got some Space Force folks listening to the show right now who could weigh in. Speaking of Bozeman, let's take you to Clint in Bozeman. He's on the phone lines. I mentioned student loans. That prompted a phone call here from our birthday boy. Clint, happy birthday. Caden tells me you turned 91 today.
That's right, Aaron. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's very cool. What are you doing for your birthday before we get into the news stuff?
Well, I think I'm going to go. A friend of mine is, and my wife's has taken us to Applebee's. Not Applebee's, but to the lettuce place, you know. And we're going to have some dinner there. And that'll be good.
Man, I stopped in at Applebee's in Kalispell on Veterans Day at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That place, there was an all-out invasion because you know they do the free meals for veterans on Veterans Day. Man, that place was packed, but a ton of cool veterans that were there. So yeah, very nice folks at Applebee's to do that for the veterans.
Sure was. Well, here's what I have to say. I was talking to a girl at Applebee's about 2 weeks ago. Judy and I went in there for dinner. And I asked her where she was from, and she said she was from from Washington, and she was going to school here in Bozeman. So I asked her, I says, well, what does it cost you a quarter to go to school here in Bozeman? She said about $12,000 a quarter.
Oh.
And she said that that Montana students, she was a Washington student, and she said Montana students are paying around $3,000. Well, this girl is working down at Applebee's, and her and three other girls are renting a home here, a place to live, and it's costing her $700 a month for her part of the $2,100 or whatever it is house that they're living. And she says it's just so hard for us to come to another college with the tuition fees the way they are, and the housing here is so bad. It's really hard for us, and she didn't know if she was going to stay or not. So that said something to me about the economy of Bozeman.
And the housing.
Said something to me about the university.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, I can tell you, as I traveled all across Montana and you talk with so many random folks, I remember, I forget how it came up, maybe we were just talking about housing, but I remember talking with some folks who either they were kids themselves going to college or looking to go to college, or they were parents. And yeah, they told me, they were like, hey, because of the high price of housing, like maybe their kids were looking at going to college in Bozeman. And then they're like, nah, they started looking elsewhere because, put tuition and fees aside for a moment, because Montana is still, I think, competitive to elsewhere across the country on that front. Put all that aside for where are you going to live and how much is it going to cost you? I mean, that's why some of these parents that, you know, that had the ability to do so were very smart, several years ago or a decade or so ago, you know, a lot of parents would say, hey, I'm going to buy a rental property if you have the ability to do it. And then, you know, the kids have a place to stay and rent while they're in college. And then you got a continued rental property after they get done with college, too. But not everybody can do that. So, yeah, I've heard it's a big factor in where kids are choosing to go to school at.
Well, here's something that I don't understand. I was born and raised here in the Gallatin Valley and Madison Valley. And school up here at the college here used to be $700 a quarter. But that's neither here nor now. But what has happened here, the rents and stuff here are forcing the kids not to go to school here. They're going to leave. They're going to go to another college or something else. But then they pay a high tuition.
Depending on where you go, yeah, it could be much higher, significantly higher, that's for sure. Yeah, very interesting story. Thanks for sharing that. And again, happy birthday, Clint. Great to hear from you. Back into this quick break.
Fox Sports Update.
First time in 6 years, a Major League Baseball pitcher has won back-to-back Cy Young Awards. Good morning, I'm Jared Max. Tyrek Skubal of the Detroit Tigers was named American League Cy Young for the second straight season. Skubal received 26 of 30 first-place votes and became the first pitcher since Jacob deGrom in 2018 and 2019 to win back-to-back years.
It's an individual award, obviously, but, you know, I'm proud of our team. I'm proud of the way that we competed this year. Obviously, you know, went through some adversity late in the season, but, you know, came back in the playoffs and competed and obviously come up short. But, you know, a lot of credit for this award goes to the guys that play behind me and the guys behind the dish, too, and just our organization.
Detroit Tigers pitcher Tyrek Skubal with MLB Network. Skubal, the first American League pitcher to win back-to-back Cy Young Awards since Pedro Martinez in 1999 and 2000 with the Red Sox. Best pitcher in the National League this year is voted by the Baseball Writers Association of America, the guy who was Rookie of the Year last season. Paul Skenes of the Pittsburgh Pirates won the NL Cy Young in a unanimous vote. He's only the fifth pitcher to win a Cy Young within his first two major league seasons. MVP awards tonight. NFL Week 11 arrives. Winners of seven straight games, the 8-2 Patriots host the 2-7 Jets. New England laying 12.5 points. College football, Mid-American Conference. Toledo beat Miami, Ohio 24-3 to improve to 6-4. Same record as Central Michigan, which beat Buffalo 38-19. Northern Illinois mauled UMass 45-3. UMass is 0-10. NBA, Nikola Jokic scored 55 points in the Nuggets' 130-116 win over the Clippers. The Thunder improved to 12-1. The reigning champs blasted the Lakers 121-92. The Pistons won their eighth game in a row, 124-113 over the Bulls. Detroit's record is 10-2. tops in the Eastern Conference. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I just got another great message here from Sandy in Missoula. And, you know, we were talking about Veterans Day. Of course, I was in Missoula for the Veterans Day ceremony at the courthouse on Tuesday. And then we did our live show from the Veterans Day breakfast at the American Legion earlier that morning. But, I mentioned General Dale Stovall. He was in the front row at Arlington on Tuesday when he got recognized by President Trump for his incredible service in Vietnam as a Jolly Green rescue helicopter pilot. And anyway, Sandy says this. She says, my dad, a retired lieutenant commander in the Navy, after flying fighter jets, flew for FedEx with Dale Stovall. He is a fantastic man, and I'm so proud to know him. And then she says, I was wondering why he was not at the Doughboy statue on Tuesday. Well, now we know. He was being recognized by the President of the United States of America. All right. Well, let's pivot now from the aviation industry to the trucking industry. This has been a big topic that we've been covering here over the past few months now. You know, we've been talking a lot about, well, frankly, for a few years now, we've been talking about the trucking industry, and we've had some great callers join in on the show. More recently, of course, the big concern is all of these, not just foreign truck drivers, but oftentimes illegal alien truck drivers, and many of whom don't even speak English. And California, of course, is ground zero for the crisis on that front, as we've seen, you know, some severe accidents all across the country. Great guest now joining us here on Montana Talks. Steve Gold is the founder and CEO of America's largest truck driving academies. He is the founder of 160 Driving Academies. In fact, Steve was telling me during the break, the Driving Academy in Billings, Montana is part of 160, his company. So, Steve, great to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Aaron, thank you so much for having us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, what's top of mind for you before I start going in a number of different directions?
Well, you know, it's funny, when I started these truck driving schools, and as you mentioned, we're now the largest commercial truck driving school in the nation with 153 schools in 43 states, including Billings. You know, people sort of laughed at me, like, Steve, what are you doing? Like, driver's ed for truckers? Like, what the hell kind of business is this? And I said, no, these are really regulated businesses. This is a really serious thing because, you know, people can get killed on the highway every day. You know, your listeners are out there driving next to trucks, and, you know, nobody really thinks about, was that truck driver safely trained somewhere? Did he go to a legitimate, you know, training course, like in my company or one of my competitors? And nobody really thinks about that until, like, a bad thing happens, until there's a massive accident or a fatality, or, you know, somebody knows somebody who got killed by a trucker. And unfortunately, Aaron, the reality is there's over 100,000, ready for these numbers, 100,000 truck crashes in this country every year on our highway. So that's like, you know, 2,000 a week. And there's over 5,000 fatalities due to heavy trucks in this country every week. And so who's training these people? And how are these people getting commercial driver's license? And I think over the summer, this became, you know, like the hottest topic, and, you know, Secretary Duffy and President Trump are all over this issue because they're realizing that over the past 4 or 5 years, a lot of people got commercial driver's licenses who, to your point, you know, were either illegal aliens, couldn't speak or read English. A state like California was, like, giving these individuals truck driver's license. It doesn't show until, like, this horrible accident that happened 2 months ago in Fort Pierce, Florida, where this individual horrifically killed family three, and turns out he couldn't speak or read English. Like, what is going on? So this is a really hot topic. This is what's on my mind. And I really thank you for having us today, because really the general public needs to understand, like, how big of an issue this is.
Yeah, and we've seen where a lot of these problems are coming out of not just California, but the cow states, not the beef-producing states, but the cow states of California, Oregon, and Washington, where they're just handing over these CDLs to people that can't even speak English, to illegal aliens, to all sorts of folks, and that is the source of so many of these problems. And then I just saw a story, the numbers, I'm trying to see where I found it, though, but I know Secretary Duffy, President Trump's transportation secretary, just shared some crazy numbers of what they're finding already in terms of CDLs that have been you know, wrongly issued, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So part of it is this, what they call non-domiciled CDLs. Which are, you know, people coming to this country without being a U.S. resident or having any proof of residency and getting a commercial driver's license, let alone, like, not even be able to speak English. But the other issue is a lot of these individuals are being issued CDLs without going through their proper training or going through a school like mine, which, by the way, in many states, including Montana, is law. Like, you have to go to get to a school like ours to get a commercial driver's license, to get trained appropriately to drive an 80,000-pound vehicle down the highway, because, you know, who wants people to be, you know, trained not in a safe way. Like, if you go to your doctor, you don't want that individual, like, did you cut corners in medical school? Like, you know, nobody asked that question. So the trucking industry, like, everyone's exposed to drivers who aren't trained properly. So part of the issue is, yes, we have giving these things out like chiclets to a lot of individuals who weren't even qualified to get a commercial driver's license at the DMV. But the bigger issue is around safety, and the bigger issue is around training. And if individuals are actually getting the appropriate training before they're getting behind the wheel.
Yeah. And that's what we've also found is, like, okay, states like Montana, we do things the right way, but it's not like we have roadblocks on I-90 and I-94 and I-15. And so we can't just straight up have roadblocks blocking all these other folks from coming in. Although there's been some creative ways in which they've cracked down on some of the non-English speaking drivers. When I last caught up with the head of our motor carrier services back in August, he said they were finding one a day. They were tracking down one a day that they were pulling out of service for, like, failure to speak English in just Montana. You can only imagine what's happening in other states. What is the Trump administration doing well right now? And how soon will we start to really see some significant headway or in impacts? Or are we just going to continue to see this sucking chest wound because of the cow states like California, Oregon, and Washington?
Well, I think you're seeing Secretary Duffy, he's putting in, you know, he put in an executive order, like, no more of these non-domiciled commercial driver's licenses can be issued. And, you know, so he's clamped down on that. So that was, like, great. Then he set up inspection stations, and, you know, weigh stations now have both ICE and his Department of Transportation inspecting drivers. And literally, I know that sounds sort of, oh, it's almost, it would be funny if it wasn't true, but they're actually having them read, like, Cat in the Hat books or Dr. Seuss books to see if a lot of these individuals can actually speak or read English. And if they can't, they're pulling them off the road immediately. Like, in Oklahoma and in Indiana, they're setting up, literally inspection stations. Every truck has to pull over at a weigh station, and they're inspecting these things. And the wait to get to these weigh stations is not, like, a mile long, and you see truckers lined up. But if they can't speak the language or read, they're actually revoking their commercial driver's license, like, on the spot. So that's what he's doing. So that's a great first step to try and at least get some of these individuals off the road at the get-go.
Yeah, and I know some states like Oklahoma, they've literally been practically setting up checkpoints on their borders and pulling people out of service right then in there. You know, Cat in the Hat, it's not like they're asking them to read Pride and Prejudice here. It's simple, something as basic as Cat in the Hat. We got a message on the Montana Talks app from one of our listeners in Columbia Falls who says, you know, if they can't speak and read English fluently, they shouldn't have a driver's license at all. You're just as dead if you're killed by an SUV, a pickup car, or or a semi is a good point there by one of our listeners. Couple minutes to go here. So great to have with us right now on the show, Steve Gold, the founder and CEO of the 160 Truck Driving Academies, America's largest truck driving academies. Talk about the industry, the need, the demand for drivers, especially drivers who can speak English and read road signs, and how to meet that demand right now.
Right. That's a great question. So, you know, unfortunately, there's been so many, I'll just call them non-domiciled CDLs being brought into the industry. It's depressed the wages of the industry over the last 3 or 4 years. And so that's impacted the workforce. Like truck driving, historically, was a great job. Like you could go work at Walmart and make over $150,000 a year driving a truck. You can work at UPS, make over $150,000 driving a truck that's public information. These are great jobs. These are great careers. You can get a lot of mobility becoming a truck driver in this country. Unfortunately, when all illegal immigrants came to this country and were handed out these CDLs, it depressed the wages of the industry because you had somebody from a foreign country willing to do this job for like half of what, you know, somebody's worked their entire life in this job was willing to do. So Secretary Duffy takes more of these CDLs off the highway and you know, reduces the workforce. It creates a bigger opportunity like right now and going into 2026 to enter the industry. So let's assume they said he's going to take out, there's like over 200,000 drivers are going to come off the highway who are non-domiciled CDL holders. We think the number is actually a lot bigger. Some people estimate it's like $600,000. Well, now you're talking about like 600,000 drivers. That's like 30% of the entire truck driving workforce. Someone's going to have to replace these drivers at a higher wage.
Yeah, so it's a win-win. Bottom line is what President Trump and his team are doing right now and these Republican governors and others are doing, it's a win-win. It's a win-win for making our roadways safer and for boosting the wages for American truck drivers. Sounds like a win-win there. Hey, Steve Gold, great to have you on the show. We'll have to get you back on again one of these days. It was great to catch up with you.
Aaron, thank you for having me today. Really appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, all right. Keep us posted if you have some updated news or information or whenever you want to share some information with our listeners. Yeah, great insight. And I know we've got so many great truck drivers that listen to this program, whether for their day job or hauling cows every now and then, you name it. All right, back after this.
Thank you.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got another great guest with us on the phone lines right now. But before we get to that guest, let's sneak on a quick phone call here if we can. Because, yeah, a great conversation that we had with Steve Gold, the founder and the CEO of America's largest truck driving academies. We got goes by the name Sergeant Jack in Billings on the phone lines. Jack, what did you want to share with regard to our truck driving conversation?
Well, I've been listening to it the last few minutes here, and I just want to know where that gentleman got his information from about the truck stops and ICE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because here's the deal. I took a ride yesterday with a friend of mine. It was my birthday, Veterans Day, you know, and everything. And we went up in the mountains a while and then ended up at the truck stop yesterday afternoon in Columbus. There were two people in front of me in line to check out, do whatever. Neither one of them could speak English. Both of them were truck drivers. One of them, they were both looking to get a shower and a room for the night. They had to point out to the clerk where their trucks were. And then one of them even had to be pointed out and directed to the trucker's lounge so he could go find a shower.
Interesting. So, yeah, so your question is hey, it seems to you like there are still a lot of non-English-speaking truck drivers on the roadways based off of what you saw. So what are they doing to more aggressively go after this problem? That's a good question because, you know, you would assume these guys are going through way stations, and if they can't communicate with a clerk at a gas station, how do they communicate with somebody at a way station? So shouldn't that trigger some sort of a conversation with – with somebody in order to see if these guys are even eligible to be on the roadways or not. All right. Jack, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Sorry we got to cut it a little bit short here, but we do have a another great guest now with us on the phone lines. In fact, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We've got our friend Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for AFP Montana, back with us here on the show. Henry, before we talk about some of the other big news, man, I tell you what, we had such a great time in Washington, D.C. with all of your crew from AFP. It was nonstop. We talked with so many folks. What stood out to you? What was some of the content or the covers that stood out to you? Because you've got a deep background covering politics and public policy and more.
I love the fact that you have such great access, especially to our federal delegation. Senator Shee doing a fantastic job. Senator Steve Daines on Senate Finance. You got right in there. You got a fully loaded up schedule. It was awesome to see both you and Jesse there. And the only thing that was missing on that whole trip, Aaron, is your invitation to the White House briefing room. You know, I wanted to see Carolyn Leavitt, offer you up the first question. You know,
well, that's why we got to do another trip. Yeah, because so President Trump was out of town. He was on the big Asia trip. And then a lot of the White House staff were furloughed because of the government shutdown. But now we got to go back because we got to get in. We got to get in the White House. We still got to talk with some White House friends and White House connected friends. So that was a ton of fun, too. But no, one of the highlights for me was actually your policy team at AFP. In fact, I ran into our friend Jesse Ramos, your colleague at AFP. Montana. I ran into him in Missoula the other day, and he said they had members of Congress reaching out after they heard our conversations with your policy team. So it was Lauren Stewart, who's your healthcare expert, and what she talked about with regard to Obamacare, there were members of Congress saying, hey, we need to talk to her. We need her information because it was such good information.
You know, the thing about the COVID era Obamacare subsidies that Joe Biden instituted. That was one of the main reasons why the Democrats were holding out and insisting the government be shut down. They wanted the allocation of $1 trillion to fund Biden's COVID era Obamacare subsidies. Those wouldn't be going to you or I or those who enroll on healthcare.gov. They'd be going to insurance companies. That's what they were holding out for, Aaron. That's what Lauren Stewart made plain and clear. And that's just extortionary tactics by Democrats. They were holding up paying our veterans. They're holding up paying air traffic controllers. They were making they were jeopardizing air safety. They were furloughing good federal staff, having a major impact on our economy because they wanted to extort funding for insurance companies for the Obamacare subsidies. And that's just flat out wrong.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, yeah, and the point that you're making here is basically if you want to break it down, the Democrats like Bernie Sanders, who got a bunch of money from the insurance industry, want to take our money and put it right into the pockets of the insurance industry, whether you actually get any service for health care or not. Yeah, her insight was so fascinating, especially on the heels of that CMMS report that came out that week while we were there. All right, let's pivot now to Montana and some Montana-specific stuff. Man, I'll tell you what, Henry, I've been traveling, driving across Montana, and I've been hearing the radio commercials in Billings. I've been hearing them on KJJR in Kalispell. I heard them down in Missoula on KMPT and KGVO. And, man, you guys, you weren't joking when you said you were going to hold lawmakers accountable for their votes in Helena during the legislative session. You guys weren't being facetious because you're going after some of these lawmakers on the radio right now.
This is an unprecedented accountability program for Americans for Prosperity in the state of Montana. And we mean what we say. When we tell legislators that when we issue a key vote alert, when a key bill comes before the chambers, that we may score the bill and we will hold them accountable, we mean business. So for them to ignore us or to ignore a policy position or whatever, there sometimes is a price to pay for it. And the price to pay for that is sunshine. And transparency. We're letting the voters know how they voted on the budget. We're letting them know how they voted on judicial reform. letting them know how they voted on expanding Medicaid expansion. That's medical coverage for single able-bodied childless adults. These are the things that are important to Montanans because they're growing the size of government. While you and I and other families are out there kind of struggling to make ends meet, now I get taken care of pretty well by AFP, but many Montana families are struggling to make ends meet surviving the Biden era and inflation and Bidenomics. The government keeps growing at an unprecedented rate, and we need to rein that in. We need to let our voters know that these are the legislators who voted to increase the size of government, and we need to hold them accountable, so you need to contact them, and we need to thank those who actually did vote against increasing the size of government. So that's part of our job.
Who are the lawmakers?
And that's what we're doing.
Who are the lawmakers that you're calling out in particular and criticizing for some of their votes? I think I heard some of the ads I've heard you called out Representative Lou Jones out of Conrad. I heard you call out Barker out of the Red Lodge area. Give us a rundown of the folks that you feel voted incorrectly and who you're calling out in these radio ads right now.
Yeah. We have 15 of them that we've been calling out, and they include, as you mentioned before, in addition to who you mentioned, both George and Melissa Nikolakakis, Ed Buttrey, Valerie Moore, Ken Walsh, John Fitzpatrick, A.B.D. Curtis Cochran, on the Senate side, Wendy McCamey and Shelley Vance. That's just the beginning of our program. And we're also thanking people. And I do also want to correct for the record, Terry Nelson did vote right on HB2. So we need to thank Terry for his right vote. I had a good conversation with him. We're going to thank our arch policy champions like Amy Regeer, Jed Hinkle, Kathy Love, Zach Worth, Craig Kmetz, Keila Pinkle, Barry Usher, Daniel Zonkoff, Dennis Lenz, Forrest Mandible, Mark Nolan, Ken Bogner. These are the guys that stood up and said, hey, no to big government, no to big spending. Montanans are strapped. Small businesses are also inhibited by Bidenomics, and we need to give them a break. And let's not grow the size of government. If we're expecting families to adjust to these challenging times, we should be doing the same thing with government.
About 30 seconds before our next break here, is there a good website or a place where people can go to see the full list of names, one side or the other, and kind of your stance on this? If people want to read more or see the specific names in case they didn't write down the list, et cetera.
Yes, I can tell you this right now. That's a very good question. Right now we've got the BigSkyBlueprint.com is our website, or AFPMontana.com. You can check out our policy positions. You make a good point. We will be putting up this is a newly launched website. We'll have more on our accountability program on that website. We're also coming out with our scorecard in the next couple weeks, which will give you the full rundown on how these legislators voted on bills we consider to be a priority. And you and our listening audience will be surprised at how low some of the center-right legislators scored this past session. Was actually very startling to me.
All right, interesting. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back to Henry Kriegel with AFP right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Violent crime has plunged in Chicago since Donald Trump launched Operation Midway Blitz. The president declared victory after a weeks-long showdown with this pro-sanctuary Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Brandon Johnson. And he pointed out, I am proud to announce that Chicago, Illinois, despite all the radical opposition and obstruction we have from the mayor and the governor, has seen car theft, shootings, robberies, violent crime, and everything else drop dramatically. He said, since the launch of Operation Midway, shootings are down 35%, robberies are down 41%, carjackings are down almost 50%. And as we ramp up assets, these numbers will continue to drop, just like it worked in Washington, D.C.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
We are seeing something really disturbing, anti-Semitism on the rise, college campuses, halls of Congress, punditry world, around the world, sadly, right here in America. You know, Jewish schools are being targeted, synagogues threatened. It was a tourist in Midtown Manhattan beaten and attacked in broad daylight. Why? Because he was Jewish. Okay, never again is right now. And I don't know what part of hundreds of thousands of missiles fired into Israel Israelis murdered on October 7th, murder, kidnapping, torture, rape, beheading that some people don't understand. What would you want Americans to do? What would you expect your government to do if we were attacked this way? The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they're on the front lines. They're providing all the humanitarian assistance to Jewish families under threat, and they're helping people rebuild their lives. Your gift, whatever you can give, and your support is life-saving work. Please donate generously, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or ifcj.org.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino. Jason Aldean has announced his new studio album, Songs About Us, and dropped three new tracks as a surprise for fans. The 20-track project includes Help You Remember, a deeply personal song Aldean co-wrote about watching loved ones struggle with dementia. Other highlights include a new version of David Lee Murphy's Dust on the Bottle with Murphy himself, the title track, Songs About Us, featuring Luke Bryan, and a duet with his wife, Brittany, titled Easier Gone. Songs About Us arrives April 24th.
Letter to my mama.
Vince Gill will take center stage at the upcoming 59th annual CMA Awards when he's honored with the 2025 CMA Willie Nelson Lifetime Achievement Award. The Country Music Association announced that he will be honored during Country Music Biggest Night with a special tribute performance. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left this hour of the show, and then coming up next hour, they're going to be in Great Falls here this afternoon with apparently a big announcement. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, and you know him from Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe. Not only do you know him from his TV show, but you know how he's advocated for trades education and for young folks going into the trades industries, and how important that is, how much it's needed for America, but how beneficial it could be for these young people as well. So that's going to be coming up. We'll have Mike Rowe as well coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director with Americans for Prosperity, joining us here for this segment, sponsored by AFP Montana. Henry, I got to get your take. The government shutdown, 42 days for what? 43 days to be precise. I know AFP was hammering the folks who were voting to shut down the federal government here over the last 40 plus days. What's your takeaway on all this?
I think that it was a shame that the government was shut down for so long, the longest in the history of our country. Essentially, the continuing resolution was something that Democrats voted on when Biden was president to avoid a costly shutdown and a shutdown in services and the pain it causes America. It was a bad deal. We support the Prevent Government Shutdowns Act so this won't happen in the future, and we want Congress to engage in a real budgeting process. Hopefully, we won't face the same circumstance at the end of this month as this interim funding will take us to, because the biggest losers are the American public and actually the Democrats who voted for it. Very unnecessary and very unhelpful. And I'm glad to see this thing come to a conclusion. We need to get back to work. We need to make government work better for us. And I'm happy that this thing has come to an end.
Well, and really, what else has it put a spotlight on, aside from the fact that the Democrat Party is pretty much fully on board with the crazy train right now? But what else has it put a spotlight on? I mean, I was talking yesterday with John Jackson, and it's like, okay, this has put a spotlight on what a train wreck Obamacare is. And if it was so affordable, why is it so unaffordable? If it's so affordable, why do they have to subsidize it? And then we found from AFP's Lauren Stewart that the more they subsidize it, the higher the costs go up anyway. So, but it also put a spotlight on the fraud in the food stamp program as well.
Absolutely. And by the way, this is a Democrat-created problem. They created Obamacare. They had the subsidies ending and expiring at the end of the year, and yet they are blaming Republicans for its failure. AFP was at the forefront of opposing Obamacare from the very beginning, as we also opposed Medicaid expansion in the state of Montana, whose costs have really quadrupled over its initial estimates. We support what was called a personal option, where the patient controls and has access and affordability to the healthcare professional they trust, free with minimal involvement, if any, from the government or insurance companies. All this is done with Obamacare is empower and embolden and enlarging insurance companies at the expense of taxpayers and at the expense of the health of Americans. It's a bad deal.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that this government shutdown debate is now going to, you know, hopefully put the spotlight on the failures of Obamacare. And when that debate comes forward, bring it, and let's bring about some fundamental changes to that train wreck and all the harm that it's caused to America, the healthcare industry, insurance markets, and so much more. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Always great to chat with you, my friend. Thanks so much for your time here on this Thursday morning. We're going to take a quick break. I think we've got the governor and the one and only Mike Rowe joining us coming up here right after this. And then I think they'll just be on for a few minutes. So after that, we'll take your phone calls and more. So if you got something you want to talk about and you want to be heard all across Montana, from Plentywood to Glendive, Lewistown, over to Missoula, well, this is your chance to call in coming up here in the next hour of Montana Talks. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. And if you just got something quick you want to share.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
KDUL.